Okay, I'm going to read first of all now. Don't get alarmed. I'm not going into this in any detail. It's just an overview of what I'm trying to say tonight, and it's found in Revelation chapter 13. And this is the system that is to come. I will not be going into this, like I say, in detail. It's just an overview, and hopefully it'll make sense as we go through this. There's Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 9. Then I stood in the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it was mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marvelled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he gave him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwelt on heaven. It was granted to him to make... All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity... That's very funny. Verse 9. Tonight's topic, I'm going to pose the question, is ecumenism biblical? Should a Christian be involved in the ecumenical movement? Topic is ecumenism tonight. After a worldwide event or something tragic happens, we find that the churches of the world come together in prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's meant to be a way of bringing a kind of spiritual peace and a solace to those who are mourning. The problem is that quite often it's not just the Christians who come together in prayer, but the Catholic priest and the Jewish rabbi and the Muslim leader, a church leader standing together in prayer, standing up, trying to pray to the same God. And to me that is a mockery and a blasphemy before a holy God. As believers in Shiloh, we believe in one God and one Spirit, and God and Jesus, God's only Son. And we believe that they are the Godhead 3-in-1. This is my starting position tonight, and hopefully we will end with this. The Concise Evangelical Dictionary of Theology defines ecumenism as the organized attempt to bring about the cooperation and unity amongst Christians. On an international level, the World Council of Churches represents ecumenism when it states its purpose this way. The World Council of Churches is a fellowship of churches which confess the Lord Jesus Christ as God and Saviour according to the Scriptures, and therefore seek to fulfil together their common calling to the glory of God, one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is a community of churches in a way that is visible, and its unity is in its faith, its fellowship expressed and worshipped, and in a common life in Christ. That is what you would think ecumenism would have to be, or what it is viewed from a Christian perspective. It seeks to advance towards unity as Jesus prayed with his followers, so that the world might believe, to justify their coming together. The reason I'm saying that is because there is a document that's called Evangelicals and Catholics Together. Now this is where it begins to twist and turn. The Christian Mission in the Third Millennium, published in 1994, is another quote, and endorsed by some rather prominent representations of evangelical Christianity and Roman Catholicism, is another example of ecumenism. Ecumenism can also be defined as a movement that promotes worldwide unity among all religions through greater cooperation. And this is the problem that we're going to go through tonight. For example, a Christian may invite a Muslim to speak in this pulpit, or a church may get together with a Hindu temple to hold a joint prayer service. Defined this way, ecumenism is definitely wrong. We are not allowed to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Light and darkness have no fellowship with each other. This might sound hard-hitting, it might sound bigoted, and religious hatred, but it is not intended to be given that way. You may say that who am I to say that we are good and that the Hindus are bad, or that we're good and they're evil? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the practice in religion of worshipping other gods that is not our God is not what we would view a good thing to do. Remember, I'm speaking from God's word tonight, and it's that I stand upon. I have many friends, some Protestant, some Catholic, some gay, some black, some white, from all walks of life. I have no problem with this on a friendship level, but it can never exist on a spiritual level at all. How can I stand and praise my God together with, say, a Hindu who is sacrificially offering to many gods at the same time? Do you think that the God that I serve would accept this form of worship? The God that I serve requires that I serve him and him alone, and have no other gods before him. In Exodus, you'll find the Ten Commandments, I think it's chapter 20. God demands that I serve no other image or anything carved in an image, like, for example, a Buddha, or even an image of the Virgin Mary. Today we have a move towards the one world government, and this is a move for all around the world to come together, both politically and spiritually. The main idea and concept is found in the form of unity. Ecumenism is the word in the Greek meaning inhabitant of the world, to form views and beliefs in a global perspective. The world as we currently stand is ready to receive the idea of globalization, and in fact it has been the buzzword that we all know from the last 20 years. Indeed, from the end of the Second World War to this present day, the world has been trying to unify itself for the big agenda. You may think that all that's happening around the world is just for that nation, for that country. The things that are happening around the world, the falling of dictatorships, the removing of people in power for many, many years, is being brought about to fulfill the universal globalization idea, which must and will happen. There are, as I said, many organizations trying and bringing together the world religions and faiths under one umbrella. We have the interfaith movement, which seeks to bring Judaism and Buddhists together. Should we be involved with other Christians in joint ventures locally, in our local area, nationally or internationally, if they are involved in worship or praise or prayer with any other religion? And the answer is absolutely not. Of course, unity amongst true Christians is important. But what if some of those who profess Christianity actually deny certain fundamentals of the faith? Now, you will have heard of the last weeks of the things that we've been saying in this church. First of all, are those we are journeying together with truly Christians in the biblical sense? Now, Taddy and I will not take part in any prayer that we have seen coming into this church, or sort of the prayer organizations that you see, World Prayer Day or whatever. We will not take part in those at all, because they're mixed with churches that we do not hold the same views with, and therefore we could not pray or worship with. Many people and organizations reference the name of Jesus Christ and even state he is Lord and Savior, yet clearly reject what the Bible says about him. Obvious examples of people who talk about Jesus as a religion are the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses, who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ, claim to be Christians in a way, and yet deny what the Bible says about him and declare and deny what it talks about Jesus' nature and his work. A not so obvious example is liberal Christianity. Liberal Christianity is found in almost every denomination, and although it may be seen to be Christian, it usually rejects several essential truths. Liberals often deny or diminish the inspiration and authority of the Bible, the exclusive nature of salvation in Jesus, and the total dependence upon God's grace apart from his works for salvation. So we've got three or four groups that I've mentioned, and I can only skiff over this very quickly. We've got Roman Catholics, which we'll go through a wee bit more. We've got Mormons. We've got Jehovah's Witnesses. We've even got other Christians and denominations that we cannot or will not pray or stand with. There is a major emphasis in our day on ecumenism and unity among evangelists and the Roman Catholics. Those who promote such unity state that both groups are Christian and both are God-honoring systems of faith. But there is a substantial difference between the two groups. Biblical Christianity and Roman Catholicism practice and believe different things about how one is saved, the authority of the Bible, the priesthood of believers, the nature of man, and the work of Christ on the cross, to name but a few. They believe as Mary as co-redemptrix, which means she is salvation, co-salvation with Jesus, is unscriptural, and it makes a mockery of the work of Jesus. Given this, we cannot have joint spiritual missions. We cannot come together with other churches who believe these things. We cannot pray together because we are not praying to the same God through the same Saviour who is Jesus. Those who deny this are not being true to what they say they believe, no matter how they view it. One of the draws of ecumenism is that often theologically divergent groups are able to come together passionately minded regarding certain issues. You see, they begin to come together in certain points. I'm going to go through this in a minute. Which means they can put salvation and Jesus and all that he's doing in the background. And they can work on what's called the social gospel, bringing it to the foreground. The rest is secondary. Biblical Christians like us hold strong to pro-life stance, as Taddy said last week in his talk, quite powerful talk showing the importance of life up to 24 weeks. A child was being aborted, and it was really difficult to look at the images. We hold the view of the traditional family and the marriage of a man and woman. We don't accept the marriage of a man, or a woman, and a woman in this church. We hold the view to care for the homeless and the sick, desire to see justice in the world. Other groups which may hold the similar theologies as us can have the same social positions. In other words, they can say, well, we believe in this and we believe in that, but they may not hold the same theological stance that we have. We serve one God, one Saviour, one Holy Spirit, which is the major difference between us and the other religions that exist in this world. And in fact, the present day, since the expansion of Christianity from AD 33, in the religion terms, we have the worst religions that now exist than then. We have, like I've said, Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and it's all these crazy groups that have arisen, Hindus and Muslims and all the religions that they practice. But it's interesting to note, and of no surprise, that the followers of Jesus that are being tortured around the world, it's still the Christian minority that is being tortured and killed around the world for their belief in Jesus. So how do we view the movement, ecumenism movement, in biblical terms? In the book of Revelation, which I read from, and I'm not going to go through that at all, I just wanted to put a background to this. The book of Revelation in chapter 13, he talks about a beast coming out of a sea. And it's not literally a beast. We're talking about a system, political and religious, that is going to come into the world. And this system will have a one world government. And this world at the minute is edging ever faster to a one world government. It talks about war with the saints, given authority to control every tribe, every tongue and every nation. So you will have a government that will control every person that lives upon this world. That is fast tracking its way. And it talks about all will worship the dragon and the beast. And we're not talking about a dragon and a beast that you would see literally. We're talking symbolically. And we're talking about every person that will not be found in the Lamb's Book of Life will worship them. And they will be controlled by them as a political government, but they will also be controlled by them on their religion. They will be forced to worship. Now that's a really important point. And I know I'm going way forward into the future here, but I believe ecumenism will be the vehicle that will lead us to that point in time. Because you can't just destroy and wipe out every religion in the world at once. You need to have a vehicle to do that. And the vehicle, I believe, will be ecumenism. It is very clear that there will be a uniting of the church and of the state. Now, this hasn't happened in hundreds, even thousands of years, but it is going to happen. With the church being the one in control, in the driving seat again. This is going to happen, and I believe the move towards ecumenism in the church today, we are easily walking into it, and we will be controlled by it. You know, and this has nothing to do with my talk, but the next big move we'll see, you will see no more money. You will see no more checks. I had the bank phoning me up the other day. This is beside this talk. You panic when the bank phones you. I said, what's the bank phoning me for? So I phoned them back, and I was in the gym, actually. This is about Tuesdays before I took ill. Actually, that's probably what made me ill. Bank phoned me. So I ran out of phone the bank. I said, what's wrong? I said, Mr. Mooney, is everything okay? And they can't force you to do anything anymore. They have to lead you, you see. So I twigged on what they wanted. They said, what's your 5-year plan? And I said, just to survive. And they said, do you want to expand anything? I said, no, I'm happy enough. And would you like us to do anything for you? And then they said, have you got Wi-Fi? Have you got a phone? I said, yes, I have all that. They said, well, we can give you this little thing today. And what it means is, instead of me getting a check or cash transfer, it's a wee thing that goes on like an app to my phone. And I just go to my client and I say, just pay me. And you hand them your phone. And they just put in their number. And that's it. Done. And they said to me on the phone, money and checks are a thing of the past. It's all moving so quickly towards. And the way you can control the earth, you control the money. And you control the people. By that, that's by the side. That's what made me sick. So this will become the blending of both political and religious control over the world. You need political control and you need religious control. I also believe that the Catholic Church will play a big part in the end time. Think about it for a minute, and this really sort of angers me, and I'm glad this isn't being sort of going into FaceTime at the minute. But the biggest anger that I have and the biggest argument that me and my wife has in the house is about integrated schools. I will not ever let a child of mine go to an integrated school. I will not let a child go into a school, and I don't care what you say, they will learn Roman Catholicism alongside their everyday schooling. On the mainland, we have interfaith schools. We have the starting at grassroots of children being mixed in schools with other people, and the adults in this world are blindly letting them do it. Interfaith schools are a wee bit on a higher level of what they're doing, but it doesn't matter what way you're looking at it. School children are being brought up to be accepted. It's okay, all faiths are all faiths, and we can mix and we can learn and we can be together and we can worship the same gods, and it's not important. And this is where it's coming from. This is beginning of it. This is my view, by the way. The emerging church under humanism will not care about the word of God or about Jesus. They want you to join a church that is user friendly. They want you to join a cute, cuddly church. Everybody's happy. Everybody's fun. You come in and sing a few songs. You don't have to worry about your sin. No. Don't have to worry about repenting. Don't have to worry about salvation. If you want to become a Christian, just do the Alpha Course. No bother. Just go and do the Alpha Course. Don't have to worry about any of that nonsense. Don't have to be convicted of your sin. Do a wee course. That's you. You're in the heaven. That is reaping a false salvation. And it happens in the churches of Northern Ireland. It's a big thing in England. And people are just walking into it. And I just can't get my head around why people are doing this. This is my favourite one. You may not have heard this one. My brother-in-law, as you may well know, is a Church of England minister. He's away up there. In ministerial terms, he's up there. And I'm away down here, right? That's how important he is in church. They are allowed to sell alcohol in their churches. Could you imagine Shiloh if you could sell alcohol tonight? This place would be packed. We wouldn't be able to supply enough beer. We'd have every alcohol in the town, and Shiloh would be the best town. But that, you know, can you imagine what's happening? You know, you're bringing in a bit of alcohol, you know, you're putting away the Jesus issue, wiping out the sin, and all of a sudden you've got a church that is acceptable to just about everybody. This is happening. And the political side that I'm talking about is already happening. The one world thought is already happening. You've got the World Bank, you've got the United Nations, you've got all this thing about NATO, you've got the globalization issues. All of these are just ways of bringing the world into one thing. Don't think for one minute the world, the problems with the globalized the air and the things in the air burning up and heat and all that stuff and the diminution of the ice. Don't think that's anything to do with worrying about the poor man on the earth. That's all about just getting the world together to work, act together is one thing. Now I'm not into these people who try and work out, you know, what's going on in the world, but I do understand that there is a big thing on that. But here's the thing. The spiritual side of it hasn't happened yet, but it's on its way. I want to make a quote here from a guy called Robert Mueller. He's an American politician, and I think he was about the time of Obama. Now, this quote may or may not be accredited to him because there's a similar quote that exists, but it is said that he said this: "We must move as quickly as possible to a one-world government, a one-world religion, under a one-world leader." Now that is a very scary prospect, but you and I who know our Bibles tonight will understand that he is talking about Revelation 13 and other parts of the Bible that talks about a one world leader. This must also allow for one religion, one set of common beliefs under one umbrella to emerge, and I believe this will be under something, if not something, very close to the ecumenical movement. So what then is the ultimate goal of the ecumenical movement? Regarding ecumenical ventures, we need to ask ourselves, what are they pursuing? They are pursuing something in the place of the gospel. Ecumenism tends to focus on political and social messages. Rather than seek to transform hearts, they seek to transform the environment, like I said, political status, social statuses, and financial statuses. They come together to try, the churches will come together and try to conquer, you know, the social issue. I mean, and there's nothing wrong, I don't want you to take this wrong way, there's nothing wrong with Catholics and Protestants, if you want to look at our country, working together to solve social issues. I have no problem with that per se. The issue is, whenever the churches get on board, they blanket it, and the churches are coming together and doing it. And they're trying to do it with a hidden agenda. Under the topic that I'm talking about tonight, the way they're trying to put it together, it strives to achieve harmony in the world to try and accomplish a spirit of unity. Now they're trying to, which is not of God. They're trying to do something in a spirit that is not the spirit of God. It allows for you to have your own beliefs. This is the important thing. It allows for the people in the churches to have their own beliefs and their own doctrines, but these are secondary to the goal of ecumenism. It's secondary to that. It wants the churches and religions to have the overall view of one love, one big happy church, one unity driving forward. It allows the beliefs of religions to exist, however these will be put aside and secondary. Many churches around the world are already engaging in this new, so as I will call it, new religion. It's been around for hundreds of years, but we'll call it that. The Anglicans, the Methodists, and the Pentecostals are all on board, believe it or not. In America, you have the preacher Joel Osteen. Don't know if you know this guy. You can buy his book. Rick Warren. Don't know if you know this guy. These two guys, I would not touch their books with a lamppost. Their books, when I first became a Christian, I had an obsession with one or two things. Israel, which you all know, and I bought as many books as I could. I just became this person who just wanted to read all these books, right? And I went one day and I bought your man Joel Osteen and Rick Warren stuff, and I never spent so much time ripping it up and putting it in the bin. Rubbish. And I'm sorry if anybody here reads their stuff. It's not good. But anyway, if you read it, it's all about love. In America, these guys can reach 700 million people. So you can imagine what the Roman Catholic Church will be able to reach with the other churches coming in under this big umbrella. Roman Catholic Church, I think, will be a bit higher. All the other guys now starting to come in. Common grounds. Don't worry about the things that we don't really agree on. We'll set those in the background. But, you know, we want to love and we want to reach out and help people. And we want to save the economy and help the poor people. And do all these things, and we're all going to come together, and we'll all pray together, because sure, it's the same God. Who cares? Same God. So, you know, we can just do these things. It is a false could, if ever there was one, and this world is walking into it. I can tell you now, Shiloh will not be walking into it. We might be shut down first before I'll walk into a one world religion. But we see the Pope having prayer times with Muslims and Jewish leaders. This is a big thing a few years back. You'll have seen it maybe. It was well publicised that he was having prayer times with the Muslims and Jewish leaders. I mean, I just can't get my head around why people don't see what's happening. This movement is a social gospel, a false gospel in which the word of God is not taught and truth is being exchanged for a lie. There's only one truth, and that is the word of God that we stand upon in Shiloh. We cannot allow our church or churches to sign up to a movement which replaces the truth of God for a politically incorrect gospel. We cannot take part in the world prayer days that take place. And I'm sorry if you're all offended and you don't want to take place in that, and that was all a wonderful thing to do. You're not offering up the godly prayers when you're getting involved in things like that. The ultimate goal of our actions should be the salvation of lost sinners. I mean, trying to reach the lost, bringing people in, showing them who Jesus is, baptism, the important things that you have their salvation and grounds them. I was talking to the guys a few weeks ago, a group of guys that I get on with now, and just talking about our church, and they were talking about their churches. Oh, I go to Dundonald Elam. I mean, Dundonald Elam is huge. You could put like 10 of these in it. And he goes, where do you go? And I says, well, we have a wee hut. Few people go to it. And he said, and you lead that wee hut? And I says, I will take part in that. But it's awfully hard to try and put across. But I would rather have my little hut with my little people as opposed to churches that have all nominal Christians in it that will follow any doctrine that comes along. In conclusion, then, should we be involved in ecumenicalism with other Christian churches and other groups of believers? No, we should not. Don't try and be swayed by them. Don't try and be blackmailed by them. Just because their church is doing it does not mean this church will or will ever. As long as I'm here and Tally's here, I'm sure it will never happen. If there is no doctrinal compromise on core Christian belief, if the gospel is not being watered down or sidelined, if believers can maintain a clear testimony before the word, and if God is glorified, then we may freely and joyfully join in. We can. However, if what I've outlined and talked about tonight is secondary to God, our prayers are offered up with other religions, contrary to all that we believe, then we cannot accept it on any level. If you do not believe tonight what I've said, if you're an unbeliever, you do not believe what I've said, you say, I have been offensive or a religious bigot. That is your right, and I'm happy to accept that. But I would say that even you, unbeliever, don't have to look too hard at the world to see what is taking place and what is happening before your eyes. And that you will. Every single person that is on this earth when chapter 13 of Revelation takes place will be in a political system and will be part of a one world religion. Whether you like it or not, you will be. I suppose my call tonight would be to every believer, and I know Shiloh, we're good at this, to having our eyes open, our ears open, and realizing what's going on in the world, to always hold tight to the Bible, to what we believe in, and into Jesus. My mouth's a bit bad tonight here. But if you're an unbeliever tonight, then you've got to be very careful, A, on what your eternal salvation is going to be or your eternal security is going to be. If you're not saved, then you face eternal separation from God. And if you choose to reject God's word, and even what I've said tonight, then you will face eternal separation from him. I cannot think of any worse summing up of an unbeliever's future status than being eternally separated from God. There is, however, the one opportunity, not through any false doctrine, through any false gospel, but through the word of God, through His Son alone, through Jesus, who came to this earth to get on upon that cross, to die for your sin, that you might accept Him and believe in Him. That is the only way that a person can be saved. It's the only, if you want to call it doctrinal, way that a person can accept Jesus as their Savior, and it's the only way that you will be spared from any false doctrine or false church that may arise. I would urge you tonight to seek Jesus and to accept Him as your Savior. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You tonight for the message that You've given us, Lord, and I know it was quite wordy in places, Lord God, trying to explain just the different views of the world, different churches. And I ask You, Lord God, that this little church is set apart from any coming together in false umbrellas of churches that will easily accept other religions and partake in giving to false gods and worshipping You, Lord God, in a blasphemous way. Help us, Lord, to remain a pure church here, and a church that will always serve You and You alone. I ask You, Lord, to protect us all tonight, Lord, as we leave here. Even though this has been quite a detailed talk, Lord, in relation to this subject, I ask You, Lord, that it would be broken down in our minds quite easily. Just to understand that there's two ways. There is either you follow Jesus, and you worship Him, or you follow the churches of this world that are separated from Him. You take either road, Lord God. But I just ask that we would always choose to serve You and worship You. In Jesus' name. Amen.